The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet brother, Griffin McElroy.
Welcome to McElroy Masterclass. Here in McElroy Masterclass, these three experts will take something that they are the masters of, and we'll be teaching you about it. I, for example, will be teaching sourdough bread making. Griffin, what will you be teaching?
I was going to do sourdough bread making.
Oh, no.
But okay, I guess I'll
switch. I can switch mine.
No, you said it first. And so I think it's only fair. Can I do, wouldn't it be fucking hysterical if it was like sourdough bread eating?
That's pretty good.
Stop the podcast. I want to get
Griffin,
off.
I want you to be completely honest with yourself and with our listeners and with us. Yeah. Are you a master at eating sourdough?
That's a good point. Do you know what are some of the mastery points in that? One is like selection is huge.
Don't cut yourself on the crust.
You're going to cut yourself on the crust. So I think it's mostly a sort of biological, bioorganic sort of toughening of the gums, whether that is through snus and snuff or whether that is through a sort of DNA alteration, radiation, pills. Gums surgery to make it tough, getting turtle shell put on
there.
What
about pairing? What about pairings? Knowing the exact pairings. What does this sourdough bread go with? What kind of moment? Which ones are aphrodisiacs?
Well, that's a fucking trap, Justin, because a true sourdough master, the only thing that pairs well with sourdough is even more sourdough, baby.
That is true. Now, Justin, I assume that for this masterclass, you will be teaching carpentry.
No. I'll do something else. I'll come up with something. Hold on. Let me think about it. My wallet's pretty organized.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
It's slim as hell. I just got the essentials in there. I got scans of things that I don't need to swipe.
Yeah.
I have a pretty... And no cash, because I'm unmuggable.
Cool.
Wait, you have scans of things you don't need to swipe? What are you talking about?
Like my SAG card, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to carry that around with me. I don't need to prove that I have SAG credits, at any moment in my life, but I do need the number to be able to pay my dues. So I scan that, don't carry it around with me on my wallet. That's why.
Oh, I thought you meant like a photocopy of it in your wallet, and I didn't see how that was better.
I mean, that's actually not a bad tip. If you don't need to swipe it, but you do want it all you at all times, get something thinner. Some sort of translucent parchment, perhaps.
We're knuckle deep in Quar right now. And so, like, I have not needed my wallet in a long, long time. Yeah. I put on socks and shoes yesterday to do some yard work. And I realized...
Your feet screamed in pain.
I realized I had not worn socks in literally 3 months. And so that was a challenge for me. Justin, I know you've been doing some great wood projects, and you did suggest to us literally before we recorded that you didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I just said I didn't. I said before I was telling you guys about the bench I just finished, and then I said I didn't want to talk about it on the podcast.
And you said you wanted to say, be private.
But son of a bench, that's good.
And you took that from Travis, and I'm curious why you're ashamed of this incredible bench.
Not that I'm ashamed. I just want something for me. And I think that should be okay. I don't have to share every aspect of my life.
You do.
With the people. I can have a little something for me. I don't want to talk about woodwork. Like, I don't want to. First, I've just begun learning the craft. So I don't want to be treated like some sort of expert in it and say something silly. But also, if I talk about anything on earth enough, I'll accidentally start a podcast about it.
That's true.
And I don't want to do that.
Maybe you should start another masterclass, Justin, about baking, because I think you're serving up a big, tasty slice of humble pie right now, my friend. Look at this bench. This is the bench. This is the bench of a master carpenter. This is the bench. This is the kind of bench that Christ would make.
It's just a simple...
Griffin, I'm sorry. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus was a master carpenter. He might have been very bad at it.
He may have been just okay, but he...
If he was that great at it, he probably would have stuck with it.
That's what I was saying.
Anyway, Justin, what is your class going to be? Because it can't be the thing you said about the wallet, because that's not anything.
I guess, sort of, I eat a lot of beans still. Kind of different bean preps.
Ah, dang it. We did establish a super precedent that we can just talk about eating stuff good. Shit.
Can I go back to that? Because like, I can eat a lot of M&Ms in one sitting.
No, Travis,
bean
you've
cookery.
Already done.
Listen to this. I got lesson one, okay? Booting it up.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hold on, I'm sitting behind the table. Booting it up? Is it on fucking floppy disk?
Yeah, you have to preload all of them into your Commodore 64 and then run them.
Okay.
Hi, it's me, Justin McElroy. If you get a cup of red lentils and then soak them in 2 cups of water overnight with some salt and then blend them in a blender and make a dough, and then you can make a tortilla out of red lentils. It's all lentil tortillas. It's delicious.
Should you, though?
Is it better that way?
You never stop to ask, should I do this?
I mean, it's better than a lot of different ways you can eat lentils. Sure.
That's fair.
Okay.
Sure. There's many more unpleasant ways to eat lentils. Here is a brief summation of those.
Yeah.
Candied. Like sunflowers, just raw. chewing your teeth down to nubs.
Juice.
Trying to enjoy it. Raw cauliflower.
J-Dog.
Yeah, raw lentils, yes.
You did twice there say eat sunflowers. Are you talking about the seeds, or have you just been just sort of walking up to these bastards in a field and just opening your mouth and running into them? And
I wouldn't know the plant that makes lentils if it was my uncle. I would not be able to identify this plant.
Okay.
I know they come in a bag. And fun fact about lentils.
Ooh, here's the one?
Here's a bonus. If you click down at the bottom, there's a hidden pixel. And if you click on it, you get a bonus lesson. If you read and you don't wash lentils, apparently, like in every bag of lentils, there's usually like a couple of pebbles. Just to keep it fucking fresh and fun. There's usually just like a couple of small pebbles.
Yeah.
And people say like, now make sure you wash these thoroughly because there's probably some fucking pebbles in there. As though that is a standard for any other food that we consume that is acceptable.
It's like lentils DRM that they put in there to make sure you legally purchased these lentils.
How about just don't do that? Yeah. How about just get them out?
What do you want, Justin? Someone to go through your lentils before they're in the bag and get the pebbles out? Then what would you do?
One thing that's part of your responsibility with these lentils is to make sure you get all the pebbles out of it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't want it.
Those are the prize, like a little toy in the cereal.
No, that doesn't track.
It doesn't work like that. Should we do questions?
Yes.
I have a fun new game.
Oh, good.
Fuck, this is good. Is it good?
No, it's good. No,
you'll like this. This is actually, the idea was given to me by Moment of Magic Pod, which you should check out.
Do you mean you stole it from them?
No, they tweeted it at me.
Okay.
I thought it was a great idea.
Okay.
And so I got a couple different things here. First, and I think, Griffin, you might get this. That's a hint.
Wait, is this another fucking quiz show? Because you can't just say it's a different game if it's Play Along.
This is a different game. This is not...
Okay, so this is a quiz show where if you're listening at home and you try to fucking answer this, you have to delete the podcast because you're not allowed to play at home.
I mean, there are questions.
Then this is Play Along.
It's a game.
What's the difference between this and Play Along?
Hey, Griffin, can I talk to you over here for a second?
Yeah, sure.
How come every time I bring a game, you just assume it's going to be bad?
Good question. That's the first question of the quiz.
Okay, listen. I'm not saying that you don't even know.
Hey, Griffin, we're still over here. You haven't even heard what the quiz is based on yet.
Okay, but it's a fucking... If Alec Trebek showed up to the set of Jeopardy and was like, what up, everybody? I got a bunch of cool questions for you all in my new game, Quizms. And you'd be like... What? Yeah, this game's called Quizms. I'm going to ask you answers, and you have to give me the forms of the questions. And people will be like, but that's Jeopardy. You can't just say this is a different, welcome to my new game, Wheel of Letters. Do you mean Wheel of Fortune? It's similar in a lot of ways.
Hey, Griffin?
Yeah. Griffin? Fucking, okay,
go. You haven't even heard what it's about.
Okay, let's hear it.
We're going to talk about Cameo, the service Cameo.
Okay.
Now, let me start off the bat right here. If you don't know what it is, Cameo is a really fun service. This is not a paid advertisement. It's very fun, where you go and you, you know, pay celebrities different amounts of money to, like, say, a birthday wish or something like that, you know, happy anniversary message, something like that.
Get Richard Karn to flip off your principal.
Right.
Get Richard Karn to do a message for our 500th episode. He said, and I just got a message back, and I was like, sorry, don't do paid ads. Smiley face emoji. And I was like, that sucks. But I did also just get a free email from Richard Karn.
Nice.
Fucking cool.
And I will be talking about Richard Karn in this segment.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, fantastic.
We have a lot of friends.
He seems nice as hell, by the way.
Yeah. We have a lot of friends on Cameo, including Matt Doyle.
Okay.
So go buy a Cameo from Matt Doyle. Support some actors and performers during these off work times. So Lance Bass is on there.
Sure.
I'm going to read his bio, and you're going to try to guess the amount.
Ooh,
to get
that's
Cameo
a good
from
one.
Lance Bass.
Okay, this is a good game. I've turned around on it.
Okay, now let's start here. Kudos to Lance Bass. Proceed from Lance's cameos are donated to charity.
Cool.
Now, this is his bio. In Sinker, host of At the Daily Popcast,
free
foodie, filmmaker, OG Sephiroth.
Whoa,
hold on, what?
The original Sephiroth was Lance Bass?
Yeah, dude. I had to look that up. He did the voice of Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's fucking wild. Not quite as wild as him being, you know, fucking one-winged angel destroyer of worlds. I guess it makes more sense that he did a voice of him.
It does make it seem like he originated the concept. I was Sephiroth, and they based it off me.
Beloved torso stabber, Sephiroth, me.
Frosted tips survivor. An animal rescuer, Lance
Bass. I'm going to say something about Lance Bass before we move on to Lance Bass. Lance Bass in 2002 wanted to join a Russian mission to the ISS, to the International Space Station, and became certified by both NASA and the Russian Space Program after several months of cosmonaut training.
Cool.
Do you want to know the rest of that I really enjoy?
What's that?
He, at the last minute, was not able to go, but they calibrated everything for his weight. So they had to put a barrel full of stuff equal to Lance Bass's weight in the shuttle.
What? Holy shit. Okay, fuck this. I don't care about how much it costs to get a cameo from him. I want to know how much it costs to get the Lance Bass barrel that I can just kind of put in my living room. That is the, what's with that fucking barrel? It has nothing to do with anything else in the room. Well, let me tell you. Do you want to know how much Lance Bass weighs? The barrel. He lays
that
the barrel.
Can I keep talking about Lance Bass, please?
Yeah.
Okay, during his cosmonaut training, he had to get a thorough physical, and it was discovered that he had a cardiac arrhythmia that he had to undergo surgery for, and it saved his life. His desire to be, he would not have become discovered had he not gone into cosmonaut training. Mm. Absolutely baffling.
That's
my man Lance
everyone.
Bass, by the way, if I could just keep talking about Lance Bass for a second, has retained fucking fluent Russian that he learned as part of his cosmonaut training. Are you kidding me?
$50.
You know what?
No.
Early cosmonaut training saves lives. This is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What an absolute... This guy rules!
Kicks ass. But how much money to get him to flip off your principal?
Whatever it is, it's too low.
I'm going to say $200. I don't even know if it goes up that high for Cameo, but I'm going to say $200.
Justin?
For Lance Bass, I'm going to say, I feel like Griffin's in the neighborhood, but I'm going to go with... $250, actually.
It
a little
is $250 on the dot. And worth every penny.
Wait, did you say I got it right? Or did you say $250? It was $250?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
That
Oh. Haven't you
had a combo?
Yeah, I haven't used that one in a while.
Okay. Yeah. Now, next, Mark McGrath.
Now he had a fun cameo where he broke up with somebody, but wished them well on their finals, on their doctorate, I believe.
Wait,
he broke up with someone's a young lady, I believe, entreated him to dump her boyfriend on cameo, and Mark McGrath obliged.
Now,
while kind of throwing shade at her because he's like in the middle of a very tense time in his life. But Mark McGrath recorded a very lovely message to this person and then dumped them.
Now, that might explain. I've pulled two reviews here from Mark's cameos. And this first one is, unreal how thoughtful and personal this is. Thank you so much, brother. I got a little teary-eyed watching this. Not going to lie, you're the real one.
He's the real one.
You're the real one. Now, that probably is some kind of fun turn of phrase, but it could also be like, you're not an impersonator. You are the real Mark McGrath.
This is the Mark McGrath you crave.
Do you remember when Mark McGrath went ballistic on a child because during a paparazzi photo sesh, the child yelled sugar gay at him, and he went fucking ballistic and went to like fight the child, which is bad. It's like so bad on like every level. But I guess my question is, did he charge him for the cameo
of, in his life story?
In his life story of being the kid that Mark McGrath said he was going to beat his ass up because he said sugar gay.
So,
and second quick review here. My sister Shelley and her family totally loved this video. Mark went above and beyond with a fantastic performance and an epic Elvis ending. Mark
epic
also
Elvis ending, you said.
Yeah. Mark also pronounces Hawaiian like a local. So cool.
Cool beans, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured the lead singer Sugar Ray's done his time in the islands. No question.
No question.
And what is an Elvis ending? Got me.
Don't know. Didn't do the research. Didn't find out.
No,
didn't look
up
the video.
Ate a cool sandwich, I bet.
Yeah. Justin, you want to do the honors first since you won last round?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go for Mark McGrath. I think you're going to pay. It's a premium. I feel like his star is just a little bit higher than Lance Bass, weirdly, because he's got like a show on Sirius every weekend, and he's staying busy, staying in the news. I bet he jacked up his rates after he went a little viral with the breakup. I'm gonna set him right at $300.
Okay, Griffin.
That is fucking poppycock.
Griffin, you're pretty far away from the microphone.
I know. It's because I was leaning back because of the fucking ridiculousness of Justin's offer. He doesn't even have cosmonaut.
That's my opening offer.
He doesn't even have cosmonaut training. So, like,
that
how could
true.
He make it's? I'm gonna say, if it's anything more than $100, I will eat my shoes.
It is $99. I'm giving Thank that to you. Griffin.
Wow, Griffin, amazing!
Thank you.
Now, very close. I'm very impressed.
We're all tied up, one and one. Now, for this is a head-to-head competition. This last one,
okay,
and this is direct from. Once again, I'm going to give credit to at Magic Moment Pod. Here it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
Richard Karn and Tom Arnold are both on Cameo.
Oh.
I'm calling this category Carnold.
Wish you wouldn't.
I want you guys to give me who charges more, Richard Karn or Tom Arnold, and for the deciding factor, if you can get closest to the price of your choice, you will win. Now, let me also say what I really enjoy, because we are nearing Father's Day, both of these actors, Richard Karn and Tom Arnold, had the hashtag, a gift for all dads.
A gift for every dad.
A gift for all dads. What dad wouldn't be excited to receive a cameo from either of these actors? A gift for all dads.
I mean, I'd be excited for one of them. But if I got one, the other one, I'd be fucking pissed, and they know which one it is.
Oh, boy.
And that's all I'm going to fucking say.
A gift for all dads.
A gift? For all dads.
Tom Arnold is worth more money than Richard Karn in general.
You
so I'm going to give
that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I have a whole rubric that I use to judge famous people for how much money that they're worth. And I think Tom Arnold just comes out on top of Richard. Rich, boy, but you know, I'm there for you. But Tom Arnold's got you beat in that category.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to have to go Tom Arnold as well.
Yes.
Which is not fair. What's the deciding thing?
How much Tom Arnold.
How much for Tom Arnold?
how much to get a Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Arnold is going to cost you. I feel like Tom Arnold is going to run you $225. And I feel like Richard Karn is $75. No, you know what? Richard Karn, $75. Tom Arnold, $150. That is it. I'm going to say twice as much as Richard Karn, who I bet cost $75. I know I entreated him to record a greeting for our show. I do not remember the cost. I didn't pay that close attention to it. And folks, that's privilege.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just say it. I'll do anything for this show.
Now, Griffin?
Yeah. I was going to say $150 also for Tom Arnold, but Justin's swooped me.
How much
there.
For Richard Karn?
How much for Richard Karn?
Yeah.
You said $75 for Richard Karn, $150 for Tom Arnold?
That is what I said. God, that's that was mine.
So fucking good, Juice.
It feels right, doesn't it? It's got a very good mouth.
I'm going to say $76.
$75 for Richard Karn.
$76 for Richard Karn, $149 for Tom Arnold.
I'm going to call it a tie because none of that cheap bullshit, Griffin.
You can't fucking... Okay, that's fucking bullshit. You can't just make up the rules of this incredible game as we go along. $76 for Richard Karn, $149 for Tom
Arnold.
Okay,
then shit, I got to give it to Griffin. Richard Karn, $80. Tom Arnold, $125. A gift for all dads.
A gift for all dads. This
Hey, for $200, mm-hmm. You get the combo.
This is
get
what I'm
them
saying.
Talking to each other. Make them fucking read a scene from Waiting for Godot
yep.
together.
You get that Arnold action.
Your dad's going to love this recreation of True West, starring Richard Karn and Tom Arnold alternating roles in each cameo.
Yeah, all right. That was a good game, Travis. You've done it.
Thank
you've
you.
You fucking cracked the code. I mean, it wasn't your idea, but you fucking executed it beautifully.
Thank you very much.
All I want to talk about anymore is Lance Bass. Lance, if you're listening, bud, please.
Hit us up.
Reach out to it. You know, we have a very, very good track record. Lance, if you would love to come on the show and just talk to be a
it's
guest
fun.
For I would love to have
we
you.
We have fun.
I will go on record as saying, I think any NSYNC member, except Justin Timberlake.
Yep. Yeah, I don't want. We've made it clear we don't want JT on the show, but I would love to have Lance on.
If we could get JC Chazay, oh boy, that would be a life goal.
I'm really. Can we just stay focused for fucking once in our careers? I just want Lance Bass as a guest spurt.
Okay.
I think that would be fantastic.
All right. Let's make.
I'm just saying.
We could
combo it together, chain it together. Stop. Go Chris Fitzpatrick, then JC Chazay, then Joey Fatone to Lance Bass.
Listen, right? $1,000 will get us four cameos from Lance, and I think that might be enough for us to put together a guest segment. We could just get him like saying things in response to potential questions and then kind of weave them together.
Edit it together.
Oh, that's
okay,
not bad.
Listen, everyone, stop. Stop. It's time. Oh, wait. Speaking of tweeting at people, I want to thank everyone for tweeting at WSAZ's Rob Johnson. There was a lot of tweets to Rob Johnson for getting our kite out of the tree. A lot of people tweeted him to thank him. I'm just going to share this very briefly. This is Rob Johnson said that we need to hear real music. Forget Rob Thomas. You need Rob Johnson and shared a link to a brief song about Rob Johnson that I'd love to share with you guys, if that's okay. It's just a very brief song about Rob Johnson.
Sure.
So if
and,
you could just,
and then I promise we're going to start doing questions. It's going to be great.
Then the show will begin. Oh, yes. This is by Rob Coleman. It's a song about Rob Johnson commissioned by Alan Brown. And this is how the song goes.
What up? My name is
Rob Johnson.
My Huntington famous
Rob Johnson.
Yeah, this whole show should be called
Rob Johnson.
So say it out loud.
Stuck in the rain.
Rob Johnson.
WSA.
Rob Johnson.
See, it's where I'm gonna be.
Rob Johnson.
In the Hall of Fame.
Rob Johnson.
6 in the morning. What up?
It's Rob Johnson.
And now it's midday.
Rob Johnson.
Saying hey.
Rob Johnson.
In the end.
Yeah, that's where I went. What of it?
Rob Johnson.
Just say what you want, but I love it.
Rob Johnson.
Don't act like you are above it.
Rob Johnson.
No one is ever above.
Rob Johnson.
So that's one of my favorite songs about Rob Johnson.
That's strong.
The ones that I've heard.
That's strong.
It's way up
that
there.
That has no business being that good.
Yeah. I know. It's way better than I expected it to be when I clicked the link. Thank you, WSAZ Rob Johnson. Appreciate it. Hope you can figure out why you were having some signal trouble on June 4th. Best of luck to you and yours. My wife and I recently moved into our first house, and it's pretty great, but our elderly next door neighbor keeps mowing our yard. It started with him just doing our small front yard, which makes sense, since it would almost be more work to mind the borders of our yards. But recently, he's been mowing our backyard as well, and he's not doing a good job. Mm-mm. He cuts corners. He cuts corners and skips patches that would be tricky for his riding mower to get into. And worse yet, my wife and I are working from home, so we have no choice but to watch him do the whole thing poorly. Should we ask him to stop or thank him? That's from Indecisive in Indiana. I did not expect the twist of someone who will go through the effort of mowing your backyard, but does not take pride in a job well done. I did not see that coming.
I don't understand the... Can you not go out there and fucking polish it off? Is that the question? Somebody is mowing your lawn for free, and your complaint is that they're cutting corners when you could just go out there and knock out those last few corners.
Well, but like, here's the problem, Griffin.
What is the problem?
There is a factor here. There is an unknown quantity here, which is, does neighbor guy think he's doing them a good job service? Right, because if he's like, what a good, nice thing to do for my neighbors, and then they see you out there cleaning up after them, ow.
Oh, okay, I see what Travis is saying. Now it's like, oh, it wasn't good enough for you, huh? I see you out there kind of going over some of my work.
Right.
Okay, all right, that's trickier, fair.
But there is also the potential that this is a passive-aggressive thing. I have neighbors. They're very nice, let me be clear. But I'm saying I could see where if I let my lawn go a little bit, maybe didn't have it mowed, then they're like, ooh, I see that Travis hasn't mowed his lawn. Mm. What a sloppy young man, this millennial. Probably too busy out there partying and raving and eating avocado toast.
Sorry, did you say avocado?
Yeah, they're old. They don't know what an avocado is. They say avocado.
This generational gap just keeps getting
worse. So bad.
And so then they come over and they mow my lawn, and it's a passive aggressive thing.
Right. Yeah,
or
I mean, you're going to
grass.
You're going to have to do it at night with like one of those push mowers that doesn't make sounds.
Yeah.
So that'll get
stealth
you out of
mower.
A stealth mowing situation.
Or scissors. Scissors are nice and quiet.
Or just rip the shit up so it doesn't grow back. Yeah. Why don't people do that?
Yeah, put down some turf.
Put down a little bit of AstroTurf down there. And then also, if you want to throw the pigskin around, it's right there ready for you.
A bunch of like black plastic, make it into a slip and slide. Put some Visqueen down, make a whole backyard slip and slide. Nobody's done that before.
Dig a pond. No one thinks about it. Like, and this is like, think about it for a second. Dig a pond back there.
All you need for a pond is the absence of dirt and water.
That's right. And the water's going to come from rain.
Yeah, and now you got a swimming hole.
You got a big old swimming hole in the backyard.
And that's fun because then all the neighborhood youth can come and everyone and neighbors, and instead of getting into drugs and, you know, hard partying or whatever, everybody can just come down to the swimming hole, talk about life.
A lot about living
and a little about love.
You may be overthinking this. You may be overthinking this a little bit, because if I owned a beautiful, powerful John Deere riding mower, I'm assuming it's a Deere, because if it's not, it's not a machine, is that if I got done mowing my lawn on my beautiful John Deere riding mower, I imagine my first thought would be like, ooh, I would love to cut a little bit more lawn with this huge, beautiful machine. Yeah. I don't think anybody gets done mowing their lawn in their riding mower and thinks like, that has satisfied me. I think they probably think like, oof, oh man, I'm hungry for even more. So they may just be trying to like either satisfy this dark passenger, or like trying to like make their purchase of a riding mower make a little bit more sense.
That's what it is. Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I do like, Griffin, that in your mind, this person is like, well, I already bought the mower and my yard is only like 20 square feet. So I need to keep using this somewhere. But I am not invested in the quality of my job because it's not my yard.
Yeah. You could set up some traffic cones that he could like slalom around, but like position them in a way that he would make sure that he would get all those nooks and crannies. And then he would have more fun with it too.
That would be better for everybody.
Yeah.
And you get to watch it.
Yeah. You could also get your own riding lawnmower, and then every time he goes out, be like, oh, shit, he's going, quick, go. And then you get on your own riding lawnmower and do your own yard, and you can do, like, a race with it. There's lots of cool ways to get to know your neighbor.
Get a lance.
Get a lance.
Yeah. Get a jousting lance.
Yeah.
No, get a jousting lance bass.
Do it.
I meant like jousting lance. That would be fun in riding lawnmowers, but I think there's something also great to getting Lance Bass to do a cameo to ask your neighbor to stop fucking up your grass.
Hey, see, Lance Bass, I'm going to say this in Russian. Please stop fucking up my grass.
Hey, even from space, I can see you're doing a terrible job mowing the grass.
I brought this barrel full of stuff that's going to hold down the grass so it won't grow up anymore.
I found your lack of work ethic heartbreaking, and I can't handle that. I've had enough problems. I need you to just stay in your home, please, citizen. Let me mow the lawn for you.
This is my side business. I bought a lawnmower, and I've been making some extra scratch. I'm going to build my own rocket.
Griffin, you have any Yahoos saved up this week that you'd like to share with us?
I love that, if you do. I could do a quick one. Yeah, sure. This Yahoo was sent in by lots of folks. Thanks. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to named Jim. Wow. Asks.
But it's not spelled how it sounds.
No. It's G-Y-M. Asks. Why don't we have castles anymore? We only have regular basic buildings now. Why did humans stop building castles? Castles are just as good and sturdy as regular buildings, except they look better. So why did humans stop building castles? I live in America, BTW, and maybe it's just America that hates castles. I haven't been to other countries. There's castles. I mean, I'm talking out of my ass now, but I would estimate that the castle per square inch ratio of America is lower than
yes.
a lot of other sort of territories across this beautiful globe of ours. I think I can understand the question because castles are made out of what? Rocks and stuff to hold the rocks together. That's basically it from what I like.
And tapestries.
Tapestries, but even though I don't even think they have load-bearing tapestries in castles. I think, you know, brass tacks, there are no brass tacks involved. It's just rocks and stuff to hold the rocks together. I've never walked around inside a castle and been like, drywall. It's always rocks and stuff to hold the rocks together. And there's lots of fucking rocks. And I imagine lots of ways to get them to stick together. And so, like, I don't understand why, you know,
building castles because they ran out of materials, Griffin. I don't think anyone thought that was it.
Well, no, it was just like somebody invented drywall and they're like, oh, cool, this is what it has to be from now on. But like, I guess drywall and wood and stuff is expensive. But like, there's a shortage of housing, available housing as a commodity. And I think that we could just start slapping some rocks together and making some pretty fucking cool houses out of it. And it's not just like, so we could have houses. We could have fucking cool castle houses in it too, like in Blank Check.
But why do we need a castle is my thing. Like, if I upset my neighbors, I don't expect them to try to settle it with siege weaponry. I don't expect them to come out with like catapults I was about to say Batista.
Batista. What's up? It's me, Dave Batista. I'm going to start kicking your castle. We're going to see what happens.
Your neighbor paid for a cameo.
it's my new service, Kikio. I go to your house and kick your castle till it falls down. I'm Dave Batista.
Yeah, I know, Groot. What of it? Kick, 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 kick.
There's just no need for the castle. There's no need for you know, castles were used, you know, a lot of the ruling class would make them like the boss of the fiefdom, right? Yeah. That they would live in a castle and then rule over. If my neighbors saw me building a castle, they would probably start to get suspicious.
Yeah.
What is this guy going to do? Does this guy have designs on trying to rule over the region, the new king of Huntington, perhaps.
Every time I have learned anything about a castle, basically what I've learned is that the timeline breaks down as castle building is completed, and then like the next day, somebody comes and by some means will leave out, clears everyone out of that castle,
sure.
And now that castle is theirs.
Yeah.
Repeat for about 500 years.
Mm-hmm. So haunted. I fucking
that
is, hate it.
That would
I
not fly now. It wouldn't be like, you left your house and then I got in it. Well, I guess that's just squatter's rights, isn't it?
There's a lot of complicated issues there, but I think the point remains that, like, if you walked into a house and someone told you, pretty cool house, huh? Hundreds and hundreds of people have been killed here to get the house. Then I would be like, I don't want to be in this house anymore. And yet you walk into a castle or a fortress and it's like, yeah. Cool place. Like, look at all the rocks. Pillars, love it. Look at those sconces. Those are original sconces. Thousands dead in mini sieges. Then I would be like, the ghost energy, the spectral energy in here is not great. So I'm going to.
That is true. When I was buying a house, like, our realtor wasn't like, and you see that tiny hole near the floor? Do you know what that's for? Hot oil. That's hot oil in case somebody tries. So that's going to keep them away. And that hole over there, that's for shooting arrows out of. So that's pretty cool, huh?
I rescind the question. It's a bad question, as I think about it.
Do you think that there was somebody who built a castle, like, after the age of castles was done? And, like, as they built the castle, they finished, and they're like, Todd, no one wants to take this. And they're like, oh, man, doesn't somebody want to take my castle? It's like, no, these things are highly impressive. How do you keep this, like, high... In the winter and cold in the summer, Todd, this is highly impractical. It's like, yeah,
you need to be in a temperate region climate. For sure.
Do you think the person exists, Travis, who would spend a bunch of money building a modern day castle, who would at any point thereafter would admit that it was a mistake? Like,
no.
fellow cosmonaut Richard Garriott, creator of the Ultima series, built a castle here in Austin, Texas, that has all kinds of incredible winding corridors and secret passages and the fucking museum with a Tesla coil and a bunch of old archaic technology in it. But you know, he probably gets to a point where he wakes up in the middle of the night and he does have diarrhea and he has to go running and remember, like, which skull goes on which bookshelf to open up the hard cold stone staircase to the one toilet in the house. But still, even he would not be like, this was, guys, I blew it. He's probably got
to
keep
a studio apartment.
He's probably got to keep up pretenses. Known castle haver Richard Garriott probably has to continue telling people how great it is to live in a castle. That's all I'm saying.
I would like to have a castle.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would like to live in it. They don't seem comfortable.
Then what are
They're
you gonna
all made out of rocks?
What are you gonna fucking do with it?
What would I do with it if I had? I would let people go through it for tours and charge them money, which is what I think people in Europe do if they own a castle.
Yeah, that's how they make ends meet, is they have to turn it into like a B&B or something.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they live like above a bar downtown and they're having a great time.
I'd probably turn it into a fucking cool like airsoft course, like an airsoft arena.
That's a good idea. I'd make it a Magic Quest place.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I would probably make mine like LARP, like a Dungeons & Dragons LARP.
Like a LARP thing?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Rent it out. Maybe make it like a B&B, but fill it with board games and host.
D&D B&B?
D&D B&B, yes.
That's fucking funny.
That's fucking good.
That's good TMTMTM.
That's a good joke for a podcast, but also like good thing for life. If anybody wants that, you can have it. D&D B&B.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah,
how
I'm rich.
Good these ideas and funny the ideas are.
Yeah, listen, we almost don't need this. I feel like at this point,
well, good
like,
news.
We've got a lot of we're not $1 million. What?
Good news, Justin. We're not going to keep the money from Money Zone this week.
Yeah, this week we are donating the ad money from the episode to the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. Marsha P. Johnson was a incredible black trans activist during the Stonewall riots, and the Marsha P. Johnson Institute goes to support and fight for the human rights of black trans people in America. And it's a rad organization. We're going to include a link to where you can support the Marsha P. Johnson Institute in the episode description. So do that. And we're going to talk about some sponsors that sell products and services.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was smooth.
Thanks, bud.
I love my post office. I'm a first name basis with everybody there. Love to go there. Love it. But right now, if I can avoid going out, if I can avoid going somewhere, no matter how personally painful it may be for me, I'm going to do it. you can get a lot of the services, except for the friendly smiles that you get at the post office, with stamps.com. Brings all the services of the post office right into your home or wherever you're hiding away right now. You can use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. And once your mail is ready, you just leave it for your mail carrier. You schedule a free package pickup or you just drop it in a mailbox. So it's just that easy and no human contact required with stamps.com. I almost said scamps.com. That'd be a good website too if anybody's in the market.
You can't say the name.
I'm very sure that scamps.com is taken.
Oh, Justin. Oh, no. Oh, this URL redirects to some truly heinous business, friend. Oh, my God.
Oh, look at the scamps.
Oh, God.
No.
What's the number for FBI?
Good. It's just crazy. Full of scamps.
They're doing all kinds of shenanigans. No way, man.
That one's got a slingshot.
They fucking just stole a pie out of a windowsill.
Oh, wait, he's got one of those sassy grins.
Oh, that one just conned a friend into painting the fence for him.
Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my brother. That's stamps.com. Enter my brother.
Well, this is just a big JPEG of Bug Hall's Alfalfa from the Little Rascals movie.
Hey, Griffin, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Ugh, have hey, ooh, yay, in bay, inking thay about a e-learning ray at the... Have you been thinking about learning that language you took in high school again or college, but think it'll take too much time? I was trying to do Pig Latin.
I know, but you couldn't even do that. So I think Babbel may be a little bit above your pay grade, but probably not. You should dip into it anyway, because learning is fun.
Yes, Babbel can help you relearn that language fast. Babbel is designed to quickly get you speaking your new language within weeks with daily 10 to 15 minute lessons. And listen, we all got 10 to 15 minutes. You got it.
You just put all your toilet time together.
Yeah. And you've been listening to this podcast for what, 40 minutes?
Thank you. Good point, Travis. Turn off this podcast.
Yeah. Listen, this says weeks with daily 10 to 15. What about just one day? What if you just did it all in one day?
I don't think they want us to say or endorse.
Pop a limitless pill and learn this language.
Pop a limitless pill and do it all in one day.
Okay.
And then do another course the next day. And the next day.
I've tried to learn Spanish several times, never quite stuck, but I have really been enjoying going through Babbel and doing the lessons. They're the most sort of natural and fun to do lessons that I have found for sort of brushing up, but also like just learning new vocabulary and stuff like that. It is a really, really good service.
You know what language I learned in high school?
What, Griffin?
The language of love.
Gross.
Okay. They called me Porky Pig.
Okay.
Because how much?
Gross.
Because of how much
I was mid coffee sip. I thought I'd earned it after my great personal endorsement. Okay. But no, you had to
before
take that away
you talk
from
about
me.
All your porking, can I mention that Babbel has speech recognition technology that helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent?
But I want Babbel to know I am going to talk more about that immediately after the ad. So that it'll be sort of sandwiched in there.
So it's helping you with your accent and your pronunciation too. Right now, Babbel is offering our listeners 3 months free with the purchase of a 3-month subscription with promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. So go to Babbel.com and use promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, on your 3-month subscription. That's BABBEL.com, promo code MYBROTHER, Babbel. Language for life.
So you're probably thinking like Porky Pig, probably because he was porking a whole lot, right? But it was, no, it was my technique was I would get down there and just be like, a deep, deep, deep,
Ha ha ha!
shit. God, despicable people. How am I related to you? Absolutely the worst.
Man, this is the first time I've ever been sad that listeners can't tell our voices apart because I'm afraid they'll think I said that.
Man, I almost didn't. That was so off brand. Wow.
All our brands are fucked.
That's all of us.
Macho Man to the top rope. The flying elbow. The cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Thursdays on Maximum Fun. Oh, yeah, dig it.
Here, I'm not even going to waste anybody's time.
I want to munch.
I tried to give that a modern edge because, folks, I'm so happy to report that... we have a new Munch Squad.
We've gone back to the future. Right
from the now time. Well, from like a week ago, but still from this era. Kind of wild, actually. Not sure it's tasteful, but you know, these brands are going to brand. This is their thing that they do. Here's the story. A lot of you sent this in, so thank you so much. Limited edition Pringles flavor packs the juicy layers of a Wendy's Baconator into one crunchy bite.
Huh.
Bacon lovers rejoice. I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to enter that phrase in quotes into Google and how many hits that I get. And the answer is... 8,760. So they have a lot to be thankful for, sure. I think, right now. But in this situation, it's that the masters of flavor at Pringles, which I bet that is not a label that has been applied to them very frequently, but the masters of flavor at Pringles have done it again, this time in partnership with the Queen of Hamburgers.
Oh, boy.
Wendy's.
Just titles being thrown around.
Just the, yeah. The new limited edition Pringles Baconator packs all the delicious flavors of layers of flavor found in the fan favorite Wendy's Baconator into one perfectly delicious bite. When it comes to delivering on a mouthwatering delicious hamburger, Wendy's doesn't cut corners. With a half pound of fresh, never frozen beef, American cheese, six strips of crispy applewood smoked bacon. This is a chip. Why are we wasting our time talking about this? Yeah. Ketchup and mayonnaise for a Wendy's Baconator. Replicating those delicious layers into one single Pringles crisp? No challenge is too large for Pringles.
I've heard that. I have heard. That's how they're also working on world peace right now.
If no challenge is too large for Pringles, I would submit that they are maybe wasting their talents creating bacon hamburger chips. There's some other pressing concerns that I would love for them to address.
So, Griffin, whose was funnier?
Oh, I've been so distracted this whole time because I've been thinking about how delightful it would be if Wendy's didn't know about this. And Pringles was just like, Wendy's doesn't fucking cut any corners. Wendy's brings you the good burgers. We love Wendy's. So we did a chip on them. And Wendy's like, oh.
Thank you, I guess. We squished down 20 of your hamburgers into every chip. We destroyed them like the guy in No Country for Old Men. We just went Baconator to Baconator, euthanizing them and squishing them down into chips to prove our love to you. Wendy's, please recognize us. The Pringles brand delivers insanely accurate flavor combinations that are both delicious and convenient, said Gareth McGuire, senior director of marketing for Pringles, who seems biased.
What does that mean, convenient?
It's convenient. With such a strong fan base, we knew we had to nail that fresh, never frozen Wendy's flavor perfectly. Fucking, if you could eat a chip and be like, well, this beef's never been frozen, I can tell. Luckily, our flavor experts were up to the task. The Pringles Baconator crisps are the perfect way to enjoy the savory goodness all in one bite. Yes, Travis, convenient. Indulging in a Wendy's Baconator craving has never been easier. Just break open a can, pop a crisp, and experience the wonders straight from your pantry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's for people that it's like, God, it would be tough to get a hamburger right now. I'm not sure I can get that together, but I do have a craving. Maybe I'll eat a chip of
it. But this is making it sound like it's a future food of like a Wendy's Baconator in pill form. Like you would eat one chip and be like, I am stuffed. That's just a Baconator right there.
I do not trust Pringles to do a slam dunk when it comes to recreating flavors, because in my mind, the different flavors of Pringles are regular salty. And then, like, maybe I'll give you sour cream, and then every other one is just the same sort of unconscionably zesty sort of miasma that I could not diagnose, gun to my head.
Here's good news. Each can comes with a code on the seal that can be used to score a free Wendy's Baconator, Son of Baconator, or Breakfast Baconator with purchase when you order through the Wendy's app. Hey, friends, it's me. If you use this code to get a Son of Baconator when you could have gotten a free Baconator, I'm going to have you committed. That is for intense lack of value recognition. Cut it that would be a terrible
half.
Use.
Cut it in half.
Yes.
Cut it in half if it's too much for you.
But don't waste the opportunity. Don't
take it up a notch and pile Pringles Baconator on top of a Wendy's Baconator.
Whoa.
Eat my ass. No.
What are you talking about?
Whoa.
Can you imagine? Why?
Why would you do that?
Or dip the crisps in Frosty for a sweet and salty treat.
Now
that sounds good as fuck.
Yeah, now I'm on board with that one.
That made me high.
Whoa.
Instead of making me crave that, it made me high. That's how much I want that. At Wendy's, quote, at Wendy's, the Baconator has long been an iconic bacon cheeseburger like no other. That is a fucking wild sentence. We're just going to revisit it one more time. And when you're imagining the verbiage in here, note the bacon cheeseburger is capitalized. So maybe that's its formal name. At Wendy's, the Baconator has long been an iconic bacon cheeseburger like no other. With stacked fresh beef, which I guess is a descriptor that leads you to imply quality. Oh, is that beef stacked? Yumma, yumma.
Whoa, I usually lay my shit out on side by side, not even on the bun. That's wild. I didn't even think about that.
When did you stack this? You stacked this yesterday? Nah, stacked fresh. Oven cooked Applewood smoked bacon. Ooh, you used the oven on it? Damn. And piping hot cheese. What?
Ooh.
This is not part of it. We knew it was going to be a challenge to get all that flavor and goodness into one bite, says, and I'm so happy to have him back, Carl Laredo.
Fuck yeah.
Wendy's U.S. Chief Marketing Officer.
And cattle rustler.
We're excited to work with the flavor experts at Pringles to deliver the tastes our fans know and love in a unique way.
Hey, guys, words still mean shit. Deliver the taste our fans know and love in a unique way is nothing.
No, I'll tell you what. We know what would be a unique way is if the flavor kings at Pringles could somehow aerosolize the Baconator and I could inhale it.
Yes. Mm. Put it in an IV.
Yes.
We know our Baconator fanatics will be in for quite a treat when they taste how insanely accurate Pringles made this delicious crisp. Mmm, this is so accurate.
It's accurate.
You can tell that's the end of it. That you could tell that these people have been like that none of these people said any of this because no one has ever called them a crisp in their entire
only
life
assholes.
Unless they're legally yeah. Oh, it's actually reconstituted potato granules and the potato chip lobby made it so that they couldn't call them chips. So they were legally barred from calling them chips. It's a true story. I mean, out of granules.
Oh, God, I wish I could fucking wedge you over Skype. I wish Skype would add some sort of
transfers because there was. Oh, look at that!
I just got confirmation back on my cameo request from Lance Bass to come wedgie Justin. He should be showing up right now.
I'm gonna wedgie you to the fucking moon. Can we do this second question because it'll be very fast?
Sure. Yeah, let's do this second question.
I am anticipating just a real quick in and out revolving door, and we give them a harsh talking to, and then the door finishes revolving.
That's what people come to this show for, harsh talkings to. Hey, brothers, I work at a job that allows me to drive around my city all day long, making frequent stops. I keep a small fishing pole and a box of tackle in my car, as there are lots of good fishing holes randomly throughout my city. Anytime I have a spare hour between sessions, I will go to the nearest pond or fishing hole and have a few casts. Recently, I found a choice-looking pond that I've never seen anybody fishing at. Seems like a prime spot. However, it's located in a cemetery.
Stop it!
There are no signs saying do not fish here, but I feel weird about just walking up with my gear and making a cast. Huh. Is this wrong? Am I being paranoid? Am I just begging to be cursed? Please help. That's from Fishy Dilemma in Oklahoma City, the city of 1,000 fishing holes. Apparently.
I've just figured out what I want my epitaph to say, I guess, and it is do not fish here, because apparently we need one of them in every cemetery, informing people that this cemetery water feature probably does not have game fish in it for you to go digging around in.
Honey, I brought home some koi here for us to fry up.
Graveyard koi, honey, my favorite.
The spirits of ancestors have been transferred into them, and that's where the flavor comes from.
It's the weirdest fucking thing. Beautiful, beautiful big pond. And I've never seen anyone fishing at it. It's such a prime spot, too.
I would also point out, question asker, if you include the phrase, but I feel weird about just walking up with my gear and making a guess, and then follow that up with next sentence, is this wrong? Kind of seems like you might know the answer to that particular question.
I just kind of
post up on someone's headstone with my Milwaukee's best.
That's
and
great.
Cast on in there.
It's just the thought that you are begging to be cursed is also like, that shouldn't have to be the repercussion here. If I am at Peppy Pep's funeral, although it's more of a funeral because Peppy Pep had some really zany requests, but I do look
life.
He led a great fun life until he died in that turbo hang glider accident. But I do look.
Begged him not to sign the release forms.
And I just finished singing Dancing on the Ceiling, and I look to the left, and just out of eye shot of this incredible funeral is you in your waders, fucking doing some fly fishing into the. There's no way that will be acceptable. I don't even know what this next sentence means, but me and the entire funeral party will come get you. And I don't even know what that means. But there's no way we can let that be.
Can you imagine being like the groundskeeper at a cemetery and like walking up and seeing somebody fishing in a pond? Like, I don't even think you get angry so much as you just be like, You can't do this.
You can't do this.
I shouldn't have to tell you not to catch those. We don't stock this pond with fish for you to catch.
These are for the ghosts to catch.
Yeah.
You know that. Folks, thank you so much for listening to our show. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you're hanging in there. If you're protesting, we hope that you're trying to stay as safe as possible. If you're not able to, or you feel like you need to do something and participate, you can go to blacklivesmatters.carrd.co. There's petitions you can sign, places to call, you can donate even without spending money, voting, information for protesters, whatever you need. That is a great place to start. And we would encourage you to do so, just as even though it may not be as front of mind in the media, that you know, the push still goes on there.
And again, check out the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. We got links to that in the episode description. Hey, thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for these for our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Great tunes, great track. Lots of positive vibes there, man. And thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on the network. Check out all the great shows there, like Tights and Fights and Fanti and all the others, MaximumFun.org.
You can go to McElroyMerch.com and check out all the cool McElroy merch, including a Good Out Here t-shirt and a Phantasmal and Resplendent pen. Both of those are the proceeds from which will go to the Trevor Project in celebration of Pride Month. So go check those out.
Is that it? Shall we do the final?
Yeah, let's do
Here's it. A final Yahoo. It was sent in by lots of people, and it is an anonymous Yahoo Answers user. And their name is actually Cran.
Cram, you say.
With
is
two
that like Cran Cram is like
no,
your name?
No, it's just Cram. I misspoke the first time.
Okay.
It's C-R-A-M-M.
Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that.
Cram asks, I thought Tim Allen was dead. Who am I confusing him with?
Oh, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.